Right now, it is time for Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets. Jim joins us just about 99.99999% of the time on a Tuesday morning. Here, Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, sports, politics, and more. And he brings many years of experience to those topics and more, and we always love having him on the air. Jim, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
That's all right. So now I have to sit here, and I want to start talking about one thing that is maybe not in all our ballywicks, but it's important, and that is what's going on in California. California has once again another recall election going on. If you remember, that's how Arnold Schwarzenegger became governor of California. There have been a lot of recall elections tried in California. Almost all fail. This is the second one in the past 25, 30 years that has gone to the actual vote. And it looked like in the beginning that the governor might be in trouble. But more and more as you look at it, it looks like he's not going to be in trouble. But Jim, unlike the last time, where Schwarzenegger got elected, there was a big ballyhoo over the special ballots, what were up and what were not up. This recall vote really looks like it was organized nationally by the Republican Party to try to get a hold of the governorship of California, to try to get some influence, if need be, replacing senators and everything. So this is a very important recall election for the entire country, not just California.
Well, I totally agree. If our listeners saw Gavin Newsom last night, in his intro to Joe Biden out in California, you would see that exactly the Newsom put it right on the Republicans that you vote for Larry Elder, then you're voting for Trump. And I think you're going to see that tagline be put on just about every person who's running for office on the Republican ticket. California is a very strange state, however, in this regard, that you can call a recall in a time of crisis. The state is burning. The pandemic has been growing. We're looking at an economy that could conceivably go down because of some of these problems. And we've got all kinds of things I have to deal with in California, such as the immigration flow coming in. But Californians are kind of strange. And also the Republicans were very, very pushy in getting this done. They're trying to do everything possible to get back into power, and they know it's pretty difficult because more and more people who are going to vote are going to vote for the Democrats or the Liberals or somebody other than the Republicans. And I say that very confidently because I look at the state of Texas, the state of Florida, Arkansas, Tennessee, Georgia, Idaho now. All of these governors have said, oh, either no mask or vaccinations are necessary. It's a denial of your freedom. Well, people will finally wake up in the by-elections to the fact that their life is more important than the lies of Republican governors who somehow have gotten the idea that preaching freedom from having to take a vaccine is somehow more significant than taking a vaccine to save one's life. So I think California will prove to be very positive for Gavin Newsom and for the Republican Party as demise, whereas Joe Biden will begin to get out of this quagmire that has occurred over Afghanistan.
You know, looking at another story, and it's something that I've said all along. Now, a big PIA for, and I won't say what it is, but a big pain in the you-know-what for the Democratic Party has been Mnuchin, who basically is what we used to call a Dixie Democrat. And he knows he now, because of his position, throws around a lot of power. And so he is getting in the way of a lot of things that progressive and liberals want. But and this is what I said a long time ago. He's no fool, and he's going to use his position while he has it. And one of the first indicators of that is that the Democrats have now cut a deal with him to get him behind the party to support the voting overhaul bill. Now, it's by no means a done deal, because this vote requires 60 votes, and that's not there right now. But also, the Democratic Party is negotiating with Mnuchin and a few other of the conservative Democrats. Now has been brought back in the news about the filibuster rule, and if they can get them on board and give them enough to get the filibuster rule lifted, you don't need the 60 votes. You'll just need the 51 votes, which they have. So this is a very interesting behind-the-scenes process going on in Washington. It's not going to be settled in the next month or two, but I do believe it is open to negotiation with some of these Dixie Democrats.
You're right on. You're definitely right on. In fact, you can kind of see them setting up the play as if it was in basketball. In other words, we'll give you a little of this, and you give us a little of that, and you'll talk to this one and say that one. And because if we don't get the filibuster changed, then it'll be very difficult for the Democrats to do anything in the next, until the by-elections, which are a long ways off. And yes, Manchin is, he's playing the Grinch, and it's not even Christmas. But he's beginning to step out of his lane, because he said the other day, he said, well, you know, on that infrastructure bill and so forth, a lot of this stuff, I'm really waiting to see how the pandemic plays out. In other words, Joe, are you waiting for more people to be in hospital beds before you decide to sign on to something that's for the good of the country? Because I want to tell Mr. Manchin, we're quickly running out of hospital beds, which is going to cause more deaths. As we saw in Alabama, a man who had a heart attack and needed a bed. In Alabama, they don't have any beds. He flew to Houston, and by the time he got there, he died. By the way, this guy had been vaccinated, and it raises the question, if people are going to continue to go on vaccinated, are they really entitled to take a bed away from somebody who is vaccinated and will not cause anybody else any harm by being in their presence and who needs medical assistance? Also, are we going to put up with these people who are basically taking horse medicine and thumbing their nose at the vaccine, and then also ending up, there are many cases now of these people ending up in hospitals because they took this stuff. And, you know, if you want to kill yourself, that's where you have freedom. If you want to kill yourself, just go jump off the bridge and kill yourself. But leave everybody else alone. And I don't know why somehow we can't get our hands around dealing with these doctors and charlatans and people in Congress and people on Fox News who are basically lying to people about vaccines, masks, and these strange potions that are supposed to solve problems. Somehow these people should be put down in some way or another.
You know, it's interesting. Jill and I were talking the other day about COVID-19, the variant, and we wish the media would approach it a different way. You can report on COVID-19 on the Delta variant, all right? But when they talk about just the Delta variant, I really think they should just be talking about COVID-19. The Delta variant is part of the COVID-19 process with all the other variants that are out there, even though this is the main one. I think people get confused, and I think that you have to go back to the basic fact that this is COVID-19, a different SARS virus, there's been... I think it's too splintered. You know, there's so many people out there. There's so much information, and even good information, which is splintered, which has helped, unfortunately, bring social media to the forefront where most people are getting their news. It was just revealed the other day, Connecticut is one of the top three states in a total number of vaccinations, along with California, and I forget another state or two. And even in Connecticut, we have lots of hot spots in the state. This is just something we're going to have to put up with. And my question to you now is, inflation has risen since the past 3 or 4 months. Gas prices have equalized and not really gone up anymore. The price of lumber and housing is starting to come down. Used cars starting to come down. But until more and more people go back to work and our economy can produce the volume of products that people want to buy, inflation is going to be there. Do you think this inflation cycle is going to last for another 3 months, 6 months, or what do you think about that?
First, let me quickly comment on just talk COVID rather than the mutation. I totally agree. The scientists have basically overreached in trying to tell everybody everything. You just need to know there's something out there that's killing you. In terms of the inflation, we have a very interesting situation. The Fed has pushed so much money into the economy that into the hands of banks and individuals that people have the money or will have the money to pay up for goods and so forth. But until the pandemic is much more under control, or it looks like it's really declining, people are going to keep their hands on their pocketbooks, and they're not going to be spending, and therefore they won't be pushing inflation. However, there are other inflationary things that are going on that are caused by this labor situation and caused by the transportation. And one of those things is the semiconductors used in automobiles, which generally are produced abroad, but there's a shortage of them for a number of reasons. The materials that are used in them, the workers to do them, the delivery people to deliver. So it is really quite a conundrum in trying to put a fine point on it. But I will tell you this, something we have to really watch economically, but for our country as a whole. People really are saying, okay, I'm not going back to work. I don't make enough money to take any risk. Plus, I'm wondering, is it really worth it? I'm reading of trillions of dollars that rich people don't have to pay in taxes. I guess I'm getting, speaking for a person, I guess I'm getting a little tired of me doing all the sweat work and people much richer than I, not only being richer, but taking advantage of the federal government. And so where I'm coming from, and I'm not optimistic on this, we really need to readjust our priorities in terms of working people. Now, Biden hits on this very frequently. I doubt that there are a lot of Republicans that are going to help in this process. But we have got to readjust this situation because the Chinese, 20 years ago I was in China. I saw that they had the spirit, they had the potential, but they were nowhere. Well, what were they doing? They were already providing a greater amount of water supply by doing something with one of their big rivers. And the idea that we're not doing infrastructure is so frustrating when the rest of the world in various ways are doing so much better by they work together. We need to come back and working together. Before I run out of time, Citizens United, Marshall, Jill, and I spoke about this several years ago before it was passed. We have got to kill that. We've got to kill that so that we can rein in these congressmen who take all of these donations and vote for the people who are paying them this money, who write it off, and who have a ton of money that they're writing off. It's very, very important that you know a man like Joe Manchin, he has, I'm beginning to call him Fossil Fuel Joe, because he has been taking money from the oil industry, natural gas, and so forth for years. Now, of late, small donation. Fox News made a $1,500 donation to him. Back to Citizens United. The bigger thing, write your congressman. We have got to get rid of this.
Yeah, well, Citizens United is one of those things that's caught up in the political atmosphere, and with the nearly 50-50 split in, with the 50-50 split in the Senate and the absolutely closing gap in the House, and it's one of those things that is not going to move until the Democratic Party gets better control of both houses, and you just don't know nowadays when that's going to happen. You know, nothing is a shoo-in anymore when you take a look at the way the political lines are drawn. Because Jim, we only have about 2 minutes left, so I'll ask you this one quick question. It used to be politics was politics. It was about ideas. It was about platforms. It was about legislation. It's not that way now. Politics is about social media, and until that can be solved in some way, I think this quagmire is going to continue.
It's very interesting, reading my mind. Just last night over the dinner table, my wife asked me, do you remember any time when politics were not this bad? And I said, yeah, when I was much younger. We really didn't think much about this one or that one. We kind of had a confidence that the people who went to Washington went there with a purpose, went there with an ideal, went there with a principle, went there to get something done for the country. And so you were kind of at ease. Also, during those times, you didn't have these media things and the Internet basically feeding all of this stuff. So, yes, these waters are very new, very choppy, very dangerous. And you must pay attention to it, and you must pay attention to the fact that you need to speak up for yourself in whatever way you have to speak up for yourself to ensure your security and safety, both economically and physically. There's an interesting, very long article in Vanity Fair about Costa Rica, and I can't even call it, kind of summarize it. But basically, they went from a country where the infant rate under 1 year old was 10%, and now they're down to almost nothing by working. Well, what they do in Costa Rica, it's called public assistance rather than physician assistance. They have blocks of people that are covered by X amount of physicians, rather than having to go to a private doctor.
Well, it's an interesting time. It used to be that Democrats and Republicans and independents could all disagree and not hate one another. And now, unfortunately, a majority of people, when they choose their side, actually totally disrespect and hate their friends and neighbors because they're either a Democrat or Republican. And until we fix all that, it's going to be hard to fix anything else.
Well, this is where Trump and many Republicans were very clever. They caught this idea of grievance politics, and they realized that a lot of wealthy people would back their play and contribute to it, and thus we have Trumpism. And now Biden is trying to unravel it And most importantly, he knows what he has to do is go beyond it and improve it and do things that should have been done before Trump even got into office. But don't fool yourself. There's a negativity out there that is very harsh on the part of kind of 30 to 40 crowd that are so off their minds that they're willing to be violent, and certainly they are constantly lying and so forth. We see that very much in regards to this vaccination, where in Tennessee, for instance, I saw on about a week or so ago, basically these anti-vaxxers were threatening people going in for a board meeting. That has got to stop. And you can stop it at the local level if you're having any problems by gathering and saying, okay, we're going to stop it. People power and vote power.
Jim, it's always great to talk to you. We'll check in with you again next week, see what the week brings to us.
Okay. Good talking to you, Mark. And let's continue to have a good New Year.
You too. Take care, Jim.
Right. Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio. A reminder, all opinions expressed on Cover Your Assets and other shows that voice opinions. The opinions are those of the people who give them, that they do not represent the opinions of Tri-State Public Communications, its employees, the Bargain Barn and its employees, or CATV6 or Robinhood Radio, all under the umbrella of Tri-State Public Communications.